Hey, you guys, and welcome to the Steel Wars Mandalorian Roundtable for the Jedi. I am Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars, and welcome to everyone watching live on YouTube, on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, listening on the podcast. Hey to everyone in the chat. I hope you're having a great week of Star Wars fanding. And if you're in America, giving thanks or Thanksgiving, whatever it's going to be. But we are going to give thanks to our guests that are joining us for what will be a super fun show from the Sisters with Sabers. We have got Maria. How you doing, Maria?
Hey, what's up, Steel? How's it going?
It goes super well. From Squadron Goals, the Badge Emporium, we have got Courtney Everett. How are you doing, Courtney?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing so well. Oh, my God, Jimmy, I've just looked down to you and you've changed your background and you've now got giant Legos. You need to cut off your arms or get if you really want to sell it, get tattoos of the chests of both of them on your arms so you can do the hugging thing.
I'm pretty close. I've got Boba Fett's helmet. I'm halfway there.
Oh, that is actually exceptionally impressive.
Thank you.
From Australia, one of my comedian mates, and if you watch Australian TV, and who doesn't? You might know him from Lego Masters Australia. It's Jimmy James Eaton.
Oh, my gosh. It's so lovely to be talking to you, Steel, and everyone else in all over the world. I feel like this is Star Wars because we're in the future and we're talking on a comm link. We're here. We've made it.
Well, you sort of make me freak out because normally I'm used to it, but I'm not used to talking to someone in front of a blue screen or a green screen with two Legos. So I feel like you're ahead. Yeah, this is – it's too much for me to deal with. But the man in Ohio who, in honor of the sweet name drop this week – on The Mandalorian several years ago, dyed his hair blue, and it is still blue to this day. It is from the Sith List, King Tom Chansky.
Hi, Steel. Thanks for having me. And hello, everyone else.
Thanks for being had. Now, listen, it's an exciting week. People are just frothing at the mouth over their Star Wars excitement. And whenever I get too excited about anything Star Wars, I look to my buddy up in San Francisco from Mashable. From Mashable.
Or Mashable. You want to do that.
It is the at Future Boy. It is Chris Taylor. How you doing, buddy?
Thanks for inviting me on. I'm glad to help be the party pooper.
Excellent.
the fly in your ointment. Now I understand the role that I am playing here. I will play it with gusto.
Excellent, excellent. What do you mean? You've been playing this role in my life for several years now.
It's just when I meet you, it reminds me that I'm not supposed to be the normal happy-go-lucky soul that I really am. I'm supposed to be the fly in all your ointments.
Now, has anyone seen that film Bat Kid?
Bat Kid Begins.
Bat Kid Begins. Sorry. Well, it's a heartwarming tale about an amazing Make-A-Wish story in San Francisco where they made him the Bat Kid. Now, Chris, this is how I learned of Chris's existence. He's like sort of like the narrator almost in this as he was covering it. And I feel like I'm more excited about all the things Chris has done than like, I'm like, oh, that was so good, Chris. He's like, oh, yes, it was it was an interesting day, wasn't it? He just puts me in my place with my excitement. So
it's the classic British Australian relationship.
Is it? All right.
Yeah, I feel like this. This is the case.
So does that mean you want to send me away on a boat?
No. It means I want to come visit occasionally and sort of do that.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of hand waving.
We are here to talk about a landmark episode of The Mandalorian, The Jedi.
Oh.
First up, let's give props to possibly the greatest word invented in the past 50 years. Like, I know some of the youth out there would be screaming out Grogu, and why wouldn't you? But Jedi. It's an amazing word. It's an amazing word. Maria, we'll go to some opening thoughts before we tuck straight in. Your daughter's named Ahsoka.
Yes.
Oh.
She is.
How did your week go?
It went well. She was really excited to see Ahsoka. She immediately knew who she was. She was very happy. It was fun. It was interesting. Of course, I think my expectations were a little high, but it was a great week, like just celebrating the character and rocking all my shirts and stuff. And then, you know, getting Ahsoka up early, making breakfast and watching the show with her was like a big mom-daughter moment.
Excellent. Excellent. I feel that because the father-son moments in The Mandalorian in this episode were just like,
Yeah.
They were hitting me. They were hitting me. Now, our next guest, Courtney, you would like Brandon here. He's logged on just to say he's got to go see you all next time, which is what you were threatening before the show started.
See you later, Brandon.
So while I've got you here, before you go, I know the valley must be just pumping tonight with things to do.
I just ask one simple question: that if I had to go, and suddenly it's like she's out of here. 5 minutes, she's out.
What are your initial thoughts on the episode?
I will say I have only seen it once. I woke up at midnight and watched it on my iPad. And I will say the highlight of the episode is definitely with Din and now Grogu. But it's about the rest of the episode that I wasn't really enthusiastic about. But I think my reaction was, it wasn't negative, but it was very mild. I had a very mild reaction when I was expecting a little bit more.
A mild reaction sounds like your current Wi-Fi.
Yes. Is it bad? How bad is it?
Oh, it's not bad at all.
Uh-oh. I might see it.
It's fine.
Check to see if somebody's streaming upstairs and try to stop it.
Yes. Someone's watching The Crown or something is an ode to Chris's homeland. Shut it down. Shut it down. Jimmy James Eaton.
Hello,
how was
sir?
We've heard what it was like in America, but like, what was it like with the screen upside down and the toilet spinning the other way and other quite, you know, offensive stereotypes?
I'm so glad you asked, Steele, and I'm becoming more Australian suddenly. Down here in the Down Under, we got a word for it. It was Grogu-tastic, mate. That's a word we already used, so now it has a definition. You just say that whenever, like, you know, you had a nice piece of Vegemite, you'd be like, that's Grogu-tastic. But now it has real meaning.
That accent, by the way.
Yeah.
That just made me far less homesick. So so thanks for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. If I can propel you from Australia, I'm doing my job. I loved it. It's growing on me like a kind of weird Dagobah system moss. I mean, I quite liked it, but the more I think about it, the more Easter eggs there are. There's like so many little bloody references in this episode. It's incredible. And it's the first time we're kind of, you know, really linking up to that main canon that's happening. It's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting.
There are some possibilities that I am fairly excited about.
Oh, did you just get your lightsaber out?
I did.
Can I go and get my lightsaber?
It's not a contest, Jimmy.
All I'm saying is I'm very excited by the potential of a blue-skinned character possibly emerging sometime down the track. I don't know if we're allowed to give spoilers or not. It's exciting times.
It's Max Rebo.
Oh, yeah. Please, please have someone not seen the episode that's watching this. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, they're like, I've come for the company, but if you guys talk about the episode at all, I'll be very pissed off.
Now, you can imagine, just put a thumb over Tom's head and just like he's got the hair, do you know what I mean? And I know Thrawn should have blue hair as well. That was what I'd like to change. You know, how they sort of, you know, like there was a lot of talk of Ahsoka's like Lectu, how they, you know, they're shorter now. You know, things get changed for live action. Thrawn with blue hair. Just make him a whole, put him in a blue suit.
He could be in the Blue Man group.
Yes.
Like on his day off.
Because how fun would it be if he's all blue and then everyone on YouTube can like Photoshop in other things? Like that'd be spectacular. Tom, what are you thinking, buddy? Tell me what you've been thinking.
Here's what I've been thinking for the last, you know, however many hours it is. You have my condolences, Steele. Because Yoju, if you will, you know, raise a glass to one of the greatest names and kind of semi-forecast, but I'm sorry. But I thought it was a deeper episode than emotionally with everything between Grogu and Din. And did I get the name wrong? Because
no, no, it's not that you got it wrong. It's that you got it right.
Okay.
like every time they just mention it, anyone mentions it in casual conversation now, it just makes me giggle. Grogu.
Well, the other thing I've been thinking since seeing the episode is I got to know the damn kid's name because I'm going to call him Roku, Grogu, Grago. I don't know what I'm going to call. So I've been thinking Grogu, you know, but there were a lot of deep emotional moments. I even got emotional seeing Ahsoka. Like Jimmy mentioned, it's a way of tying it in to the larger story. And whether the Mandalorian needs to be tied in or how much it needs to be tied in, that's another conversation. But for what this episode was, I liked that.
Hey, Cleach was saying in Rebels Thrawn did have blue hair. Am I crazy? Did he?
It was like very dark blue, I thought.
I thought it was black, but I could be wrong.
Just think of the Pierce Brosnan picture at a Celebration.
It was that classic Superman thing where it's black and blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very comic book style.
Depends what light. Jet blue. Jet black blue.
Hey, if there's one thing the internet needs more of, it's debates over what color something is. What color's this hair?
The Thrawn's hair meme. It'll be huge.
Oh, come on. Christopher, what was your reaction? Well, I'm interested, Chris, because I am fascinated with your excitement levels about anything. Well, when do you watch this? You're waiting up to midnight. You know, you got it pretty easy in San Francisco where you're just like, whatever's. You're watching it on your phone on the BART. What are you doing?
The BART?
Hey, buddy, it's
March.
It's a local reference. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. No, I did not watch it on the BART. Sometimes I stay up till midnight, but then my wife doesn't watch it with me. If I want her to watch it, she's an early bird. We've got to watch it first thing in the morning. So that's what we did. And I'm glad because I really needed company during this episode because you need, during this episode, someone to turn to and go, that's his name, or Ahsoka, or, you know, it was a big group reaction episode. So if you can watch it with a loved one, please do.
You've just made me feel like such a loser, Chris.
I'll watch it again with you, Steele. I'll watch it.
I watch it at midnight, and because I'm watching it by myself, I film myself. So this is pathetic.
Really, that means you are watching it with yourself in the future, kind of, which is a very appropriate science fiction-y way to be watching
it. Oh, man. Dude, I've met past me, so I'm not that stoked on future me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
There's a pattern here going on.
So I like the aesthetics of the show. I thought, Ahsoka was nailed. And I'm saying from a point of view of performance, you know, makeup, lighting, everything, that was Ahsoka. It immediately passed the test. that I think everyone was concerned about.
I forgot it was Rosario Dawson. Like, it looked so much like Ahsoka that I kind of halfway through went, oh, that's right. It's that actress as well. I thought she did a great job.
It's always great when they disappear into the role. I mean, this, like Pedro Pascal, is disappearing into his role, right? Constantly amazed at how much that guy is willing to just sort of, you know, be covered up on the show.
Yeah.
Aesthetically pleasing, hey, plot-wise, dump.
I don't think he knows how much he's being covered up. Just quietly.
It's like, you guys can see me through this, right?
Yeah, he just at the end of the season when he's like, oh, wow, I was there for a lot of scenes. I wasn't there for a lot of scenes. I'm doing voiceovers for now. So
was it last week we got his mouth and he was lifting it up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've heard theories that wasn't his mouth. Listen, I've got a lot of connections here in LA. I got in a noted chin expert, right?
And, did they work on like crime scenes and stuff?
How many chin crimes are there, Jimmy?
More than you'd think.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, just to finish the thought, I thought aesthetically beautiful, plot-wise, too much of an info dump, and too confusing and distracting for what I thought was the main story we were telling here. It's like the show suddenly got invaded by the end of Rebels.
That's very Filoni-tastic.
Yeah, I know, and it's like, forget about this whole quest we're on with Moff Gideon and that side of things. Let me take you in a Rebels direction.
I know that, like, the criticism is valid for if you think that's a criticism, but I see people say, like, oh, they've lost their way or whatever, and it's like, all this was made before any episodes. Like, we'd seen it. So it's not as though they're like, this is the plan. Like, this, like, up until like this season, essentially at the end of this season, this is all based on, like, none of it's based on customer feedback. It's like what they sort of set out to do. So I sort of feel like some, like, the people just have to accept it. It's like, this is the show. Like, and I know they marketed it one way, but come on, guys. Have we learned nothing from this Lucasfilm marketing machine? Like, come on. It's.
I don't know. I've just always said that Star Wars thrives on mystery, and the more mystery, the better. So I was sad to see the end of Baby Yoda, the end of the child, and the beginning of the Grogu era, which is, Grogu is just the sheave of Dins. I'm sorry. It's going to take me a long time to get used to
that. That's it for Courtney.
Is it the name specifically that is annoying you?
Grogu. It's still growing on me, as it were, like goo.
Hello.
I have to remember it every time. I'm like, is that Gorgu? No. Gorgon? No. Grogon? No. Yeah, like, I'm still in that phase of things.
Do you think he'll get a cute nickname like Goo Goo or something?
Are you midway through the 9 stages of Grogu denial?
Grogu grief. Yeah.
Wow.
5 stages of Grogu grief. I'll get over it, I'm sure.
Well, you know, I had 2...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
As it turns out, I never thought one of them was a solid theory over what Baby Yoda's name was going to be. I just called him Yoju. Because it's like the Homer Simpson, like, the kids can call him Hoju. So it was like Yoju.
Yeah.
And then my proper theory was Geo, as an ode to George Lucas. First 3 letters sounds, you know, a bit Yoda-ish. If you mash them together.
Oh.
We're in Grogu territory. Tom, yeah,
it's Grogu,
me up, buddy.
all the letters from George?
Grogu letters
is, is Space George. So I'm convinced that's what the reference is.
Yeah. And because I was like, how are they going to name this and not, like, they need to have something to validate it. And there's nothing more validating in Star Wars once he's left, while he was here.
Yeah.
Some people thought he was the worst thing to ever happen. But once he's gone, he's the ultimate rubber stamp. And that's an ode to GL, George Lucas. Now, before we get breaking down into the actual episode, I do want to acknowledge, you know, there has been charges, illegal actions against Rosario Dawson and her family, against some abuse against a trans employee and friend of the family. And here's what's up, right? I know people that have had this happen to them, and they're big fans of this character. So they're in this position of like, this is a thing I love, and it's also with this actress, it's reminding me of how I was treated less than just for being me. And it's a hard thing to tackle because it's with something that we love and it's, you know, people that we want to protect and support. And yeah, I just want to put it out there that like me personally, I feel you and I support you as best I can. And it's like as a Star Wars fan, and it's happened a couple times this season, it's such a sucky situation to get put in that you're between a rock and a hard place with this, but also like to be treated with a lack of respect or abuse or cruelty for being who you are sucks even more than that. So yeah, I just you know, and don't, the main thing is they're not trying to ruin your fun or stamp on your parade. They're just expressing themselves. And I know personally people that like this affects deeply, and they're like, I'm going to watch it again. I want to separate it. So the main thing is don't turn on them for the pain they've suffered, and that one of their favorite things in the world is like reminding them of it. So I'm stumbling through all this, but we hear you and we love you, and I'm lost for words, but If anyone has anything to jump in with, that's all good. Or we can just, I will move on. So
I'll just say that I think we're all stumbling through it, and we want to know more. We don't want to sweep this under the carpet. It's a continuing developing story, and I feel like we'll have more to say on it as this goes on. And I think it's just, you're absolutely right. It's just important to acknowledge that this is an issue and not to decenter it.
Yeah. And, you know, I know there's been, I know Anthony Breznican at Vanity Fair sort of reported that some of the charges had been dropped or whatever. And, you know, like that's better than them not being dropped, but also this is like when charges get dropped against a powerful, famous, rich person. Listen, I'm not sure if you heard about this guy, Vince McMahon, but he's had Maria's hearing me. Maria's hearing me. It doesn't prove or disprove anything.
Not at all.
So with that, let's get into it. I just doing my best with that. And it's not an easy thing to, because there's no right answer. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, do you not watch this episode? Do you not watch the whole series? Do you not watch anything from the films? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish I wasn't so familiar with saying this stuff. Do you know what I mean? And it's like the company has these, like, every resource in the world, and maybe we should be doing a bit more, sort of sussing out who we're hiring for these jobs and what any allegations are. And the tough thing is, if this is like an ongoing character, you know, in another series and stuff, it's like she's, you know, cemented in, essentially.
Which apparently there's going to be a spin-off, isn't there? Or there's rumors of a Ahsoka spin-off in the works. Hey,
Jimmy, I don't like to get into these Star Wars rumors. I just go to StarWars.com for my facts. Do you know what I mean?
I'll just burn my computer. Sorry.
it did feel very much like a spin-off episode, though, didn't it? If we were coming to this fresh, we were just looking at this as a new TV show, be like, oh, this is Ahsoka character. I don't know much about her, but
yeah,
I think that's got spin-off potential.
It's like when Angel first arrived on Buffy, you know, you're like, there's more to this. Sorry, are we not allowed to talk about Buffy on this podcast?
Oh, no, you can.
Oh, phew.
Just not regularly. Yeah, that's your one reference, all right?
One Buffy reference per.
Yeah, you get one Buffy reference. Maria gets, like, unlimited wrestling references, to be honest.
There you go.
Thank you.
Put me over already.
Yeah. There's another one. Love it. Everyone else is bewildered, but we're very amused. Shout out to Chris Fresh, who's the other person involved in this whole thing.
What up, Chris Fresh?
That would be digging this. It did definitely feel like you don't go to all that work to put in this character and then not have it seed off to something else. Yeah. What do you think, Tom?
I think I don't know who is an A-lister, B-lister, whatever, but I do know Rosario Dawson is a name. She's been a star in movies. She was in many of the Marvel shows. So I don't think you get her for a one-shot guest appearance.
Hmm.
Although they had like Michael Bane in this same episode. So it's, like, you just never know. They can bring in these huge stars just for...
He was a bit of a chump. his character was a jobber.
He really signposted that second gun. Like, terrible, terrible cowboy.
Hey, is Michael Bean... Have I been missing out on 30 years of Bean? Because, like, he went from, like, Terminator, maybe something in the middle, and then...
Alien...
Yeah, I'm going to question your use of superstar.
yeah, fair call. But I think there'd be a lot of like A-listed stars going, shit, yeah, I'd drop everything just to be in a Star Wars episode.
Like, yeah, well, you know, you get guys like Brian Posehn and stuff like that, which they're just totally up for it. All right, let's go into the ep. We start off on a mysterious, almost Mustafar-esque burnt forest, and a very cinematic opening with those sort of bounty hunter mercenary looking guys, and then the two sabers, and I gotta say, I was not like, I was like a fan of Ahsoka, you know, in the Clone Wars and in Rebels, not as much so in the Clone Wars movie, but just after this opening little series of events, I was already just like, I think I just rate live action so much more than cartoons or something. I feel validated by people standing there and sweating and stuff like that. Now, Courtney, you're pulling a face, and I know you're a big animation fan.
That's please. My career. I worked at Nickelodeon still. Did you not remember this?
Listen, But I don't know if you've seen this Days of Our Lives. There's real people there. They're doing stuff. It's pretty impressive. But that's just my I don't know. Seeing actual people there is...
I know what you're saying. I mean, I also, look, Star Wars is a big tent, lots of room for the animation fans. I keep wanting to like Clone Wars and Rebels more than I do. When I like it, it's more about the concepts and the story than the style. I just think personally for me, Star Wars is used universe live action, right? It is hard, and they try so hard to get the used universe in the animation, but it doesn't, to me, to my mind, my personal point of view, it just doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel like Star Wars, whereas live action does. It, you know, to me, if you can step into the frame and feel that you're actually there in that world, in that universe, that's what this franchise is about.
And it really has that feeling like, even though, you know, it was shot, oh God, like 40 years later, that they could have just wrapped Return of the Jedi and used all of that kind of same set, even though it's so far apart. It really has that same feel and sound, particularly with those mercenaries at the start, with that kind of robot language that sounds so much like the door droid from Jabba's palace. All of that stuff just makes me go, oh yeah.
Now listen, Courtney, here's the deal. Could you at Nickelodeon animate a slice of tree hitting someone in a chest?
Fun fact, yes. Fun fact, animation is limitless. It's actually way easier to animate anything than it is to do in live action. But I mean, yeah, I'm a big cartoon fan, and I'm sorry if my internet is still really cruddy. Just let me know. If it's worth it for me to shut up. And then I'll leave like I wanted to the whole time. But I'm a big animation person, and Clone Wars was the real thing that got me into Star Wars in the first place. That was my, oh, I want to be really involved in this fandom. And obviously, like, what I do for a living now is draw cartoons of Star Wars characters. So I'm pretty biased towards the animation program in a lot of ways. Right. So I do think it's cool. I think Bo-Katan was a reference that I was really excited about, and I think was done really well. Ahsoka is one of those characters that I still feel a little bit weird about her involvement. And I mean, like we've talked about, and I don't want to harp on it too much more than we've already have, but I can't really support Rosario Dawson in the role right now. I can't. I don't watch the episodes with Gina Carano in it. I have not seen her episodes. But I understand Rosario's situation is, I hate to say nuanced, but just because she hasn't publicly done the things Gina has done. But that's just what I want to say about Rosario. So there is a certain hesitancy that I have with her. And I do love Ahsoka. She's one of my favorite characters to draw from Star Wars. And her role in this episode didn't fit in as well as Bo-Katan's did. I feel like her presence didn't fit in as well as I wanted it to. But I also hate the Jedi. So I'm so biased for all of this. I hate the Jedi. They're garbage. I hate them all. And so the fact that she like lets them call her a Jedi, I'm like, she's not though. No. I hate the Jedi.
Well, I did put this up in the chat, Courtney, for someone that was trying to troll, but I think I can put it up on here for that comment about the Jedi as well. So art entertainment line there.
I know. You were going on, you're like, the best word, and I'm like, oh son. We are about to duel.
Oh boy.
You think the best word is pin.
Good comeback, Steele. Good one.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was real good.
Courtney has a very very sweet pin game going on at Squadron Grolls.
An Ahsoka pin. Here's one that I made. Self-promo time.
Right. Now, I feel like I've got an advantage to, like you're saying, the character didn't really fit in. I'm not super attached to her... You know, like I am for like Luke or Rey. And I kept thinking that if people hadn't like they weren't into Rebels or the Clone Wars or whatever, just based on how she entered the show and how she acted, it's like, oh, this new Jedi character is like super, super cool to the, you know, to the layperson. Now, Chris, I'm not sure how much into Star Wars your wife is. Obviously not that much if she's not staying up till 12 o'clock. Do you know what I mean?
She's more of a Star Trek fan.
Really?
Yeah, Star Wars just okay.
What did she make of Ahsoka?
Oh, she loved Ahsoka. You know, she's seen enough Clone Wars and enough Rebels to be familiar with the Ahsoka character. You know, there's not a bad word to say about it. It didn't feel like her. I think that was only one moment where, to me, and maybe also to my wife, it didn't feel Ahsoka. Was she seemed remarkably incurious about Grogu, about Baby Yoda. Like, I feel like we were missing a reaction shot of her going, holy shit.
Yeah.
Because she knows just how rare the species is. She knows just how important the one representative of the species who's actually had a speaking role prior in Star Wars is. So there needed to be some moment of like looking and longing and remembering. And that's the one part of it that didn't really sell Ahsoka to me.
And she was pretty quick to do the old handball as well. She was like, oh, there's Baby Yoda. You can take him now. I'm done. Like, yeah. She was pretty quick to get rid of him.
Yeah, I get the logic, but like emotionally, there need to be more beats between them.
Okay.
I thought the emotion for that came in her response that mentioned Anakin, as in why she didn't want to do it, because what she felt from him and the attachment to Din, that was where it was for me. I saw that in this episode.
Yes. Oh, Ahsoka, making everything about Anakin.
Well,
like let's just have a moment of remembrance for your old Master Yoda. Come on.
Yeah, I thought the little Anakin nod was pretty sweet. I was quite a sucker for this episode. I had a pretty good time. Now, there's the heated Lectu debate. Maria, you know,
okay,
massive Ahsoka fan.
Where do you want to start? How much time you got?
I've got a lot of time. Okay. Courtney's got about seven more minutes. So
items here.
Oh, really?
Get my tablet out.
Oh, are you serious? This is awesome. Okay, this is more prepared than I've ever gone into one of these things. So
I do have a list of grievances.
Okay,
so we can start there if you'd like.
Oh, it's we've had Thanksgiving and now we're going into Festivus. I'm very excited.
That's right.
Star Wars Festivus.
Yes. Oh, that's such a good idea.
No, the Lekku, I made a mental allowance for. I will allow it as someone who has cosplayed and worn Lekku. I know that, you know, when they are longer, it's a lot harder to make them look realistic, especially when you're turning your head. I did a Hera cosplay a couple years back, and when you turn your head, they can bend sometimes with the latex and all that. So wow. I totally get why they were short. I'm not mad about it. I really don't care about it. She looks like the character, which is great, except she's not the character. To me, it felt very hollow. As someone who's been following this character for over a decade, named my baby after this character. Like, this character is on my arm, for goodness sake, you know? Ashley's everything to me. I felt like we got an Ahsoka with no heart. They did a wonderful job of making her look like a BA. You got a lot of action. All that razzle dazzle is great, but I think what the real superpower of Ahsoka Tano is, it's the empathy that she wasn't shown from the Jedi. It's that caring, the kindness, and that's what I didn't feel throughout the entire episode. I didn't feel the love. I didn't feel the kindness. I didn't feel the empathy radiating from her. She seemed very removed So I don't know if there's something else that I'm missing that wasn't there, but I was kind of disappointed. It's great to see her in live action. It's better to have something than nothing. So I'm happy that we have something and she's in live action. I think there's a lot of room to grow here. I'm not exactly sure why you have Ahsoka Tano in an episode and you don't explain who the heck she is. And I used this euphemism yesterday on Sistas when we did our representation and our reaction to it. It's kind of like inviting Jesus Christ to Thanksgiving dinner, but nobody knows he's Jesus and nobody tells anybody he's the Son of God. You just sit him down and make him a plate, you know, and we're all just talking, you know. So you work at the Best Buy with Bob, Jesus. Oh, that's great. That's great. So where'd you say you're from? Ohio. Oh, that's great. You know, and nobody bothers to put two and two together. So I think it's wonderful that she's coming out of the shadows and into the light and more people will be aware of her now. And that's a great jumping off point. But I'm really kind of heartbroken that she didn't get any type of explanation. Bo-Katan got more of an explanation of who she is and where she comes from, than Ahsoka Tano. And I love Bo-Katan, but she's a second tier Clone Wars character. And Ahsoka is like the top tier of Clone Wars and what Clone Wars was really all about. And I'm really just kind of sad to see that Rosario didn't take it very seriously and didn't do her homework or whatever the problem is there. It's kind of sad. You see someone who looks like something that's familiar, but it's really not them. It's kind of like seeing a family member from a distance and you're like, is that them? Like, no, that can't be her. So I'm hoping that this is a good jumping off point and Dave can fix it. But I think we focused way too much on let's make her look really good. Let's make her look really cool and really strong. But that's not Ahsoka's power. Ahsoka's power isn't because she's a great fighter. She is a great fighter. But I think her power comes from being able to touch the places that the Jedi couldn't and see what they can't. If that makes sense. And the fact that no one corrected that she's not really a Jedi, you know, my mom's a housekeeper, or she was at one point in time. People don't go around calling her the housekeeper. You know, it's just kind of weird.
Oh, pardon me. Obviously Dave Filoni, you know, is part creator of the character, and, you know, few people know more of, like, her story and her potential story than him. Like, where do you think he went wrong, Maria?
I think it's real simple. It's called exposition. There is none. We just see this woman who is in the middle of this, you know, excursion, and we don't get any explanation as to why she's so freaking important. And it's because she's the Padawan of Anakin. You know what I mean? That's a big deal. And that would encourage people to go back to Rebels, go back to Clone Wars, learn more about her. And we miss a huge opportunity there. And it's sad. We don't even get to see Morai. Like, Morai's in the corner of the shop for like 2 seconds.
Yeah. That's
all we get of Morai. We don't even get to see how beautiful her colors are, the green and the tan and the... Anyway, I'm not going to cry. It is what it is. I still have Clone Wars. I still have Rebels. I still have those things. They're intact. What's important is my daughter got to see her in live action, played by a brown person. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, because obviously I'm coming at it from a completely different angle. And, you know, if it was Luke Skywalker... Oh, no, let's just say when Luke Skywalker comes back, I will be like exuberantly attached to this. But I, like, from my point of view, I was sort of like, I felt like they put in just enough about her that she could be appreciated for new viewers from a just based on on that, and then they'd sort of go and find out about her. But do you know what I mean? I don't have the like emotional investment in it. Tom, where do you think it lies?
I think it's somewhere in the middle, because I think viewers do need to know who she is and why she's there. And I think, like Maria said, she's the Padawan of Anakin Skywalker. She got, you know, she's a great fighter. We saw that. She got that from Anakin. She also got her compassion from Anakin too. And that's something that she wouldn't have gotten in the Jedi. But a lot of the exposition stuff we didn't get. And I see why that's an issue. I could see why that's an issue. At the same time, it's not her show yet.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're saving it, or I don't even know. Maybe because this was a Filoni episode, maybe he thought, you know, he's so familiar. This was a case of overfamiliarity for him, where he's used to having her. He's used to Ashley being there. He thought that would come through in the performance, and maybe he wasn't experienced enough to make that happen, or he didn't know to make that happen.
So it's actually not that unusual in Star Wars. So first of all, I want to say, Maria, that is an excellent point about empathy. I think you really hit the nail on the head, and you put your finger on something that I was trying to think through with that whole non-reaction to memories of Yoda thing, right? That's what it's about. It's about empathy. But there is, on the other thing, like I think there is a long tradition in Star Wars of just not introducing characters. They're just sort of thrown on the screen. And, you know, we don't know who, was it Lor San Tekka at the start of Force Awakens?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Like he's got this whole rich backstory. We never learn it. Mm-hmm. And it's always, Star Wars has always been that sort of documentary style, which is what George was going for right from the beginning. Is this, you know, we're just thrown into this world. Oh, we're in this cantina now, you know, here are all these characters. Oh, I guess we're going to meet this pilot now. And it just sort of, you know, kind of zigs and zags its way. Yeah, I think if she gets her own series, it will be a different story. But also, I think you also put your point on something of like, they never advertise. The Jedi just don't advertise. The Jedi have terrible PR. Probably the worst PR in the galaxy.
Right.
Like, you know, 20 years after they vanished, no one's heard of them. Yeah. You know, even 3 more years and like after they've saved the galaxy, still no one seems to have heard of them. And like, yeah. Even if she said I was the, you know, I was Anakin Skywalker's Padawan, didn't be like, who? Anakin who? What? Like, nobody seems to know history. Nobody seems to know what the hell has gone on in the galaxy.
Well, I like made a joke about that, just being like, I feel like there's got to like follow Google, and if like he just Googled Jedi, Luke Skywalker would show up, right? Like it's open knowledge. Yeah. It's out there. So
everyone saw the broadcast of the Death Star blowing up, but apparently that's all they watch. There are no profiles of like who's responsible.
It is sort of interesting there, those, like, they've got these advancements in tech in some areas, you know, they've got laser guns and lightsabers, but then, you know, obviously their Google is bad. And also their town warning system is an old ancient bell. I was sort of noticed that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's the sort of Star Wars thing where it's like, why have they got a bell? And it's like, because it would look sweet cut in half and falling
exactly.
on the ground.
That's exactly.
Like, I tried to explain to someone why, Courtney's going to love this, why Snoke's throne room was just red curtain.
Hi, Portia.
And they're like, why would you just have red curtain? And it's like, because when it burns, it's going to look cool. Like it's not Snoke's design. He didn't go to space IKEA. Like there's no backstory. It's just like the filmmaker going, this is going to look cool when it burns. And yeah, I feel like the bell is just like,
yeah.
And it's sort of, and it also, you know, harkens back to all the, you know, the Japanese,
Kurosawa films.
Yeah.
And the fight around a koi pond.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
Hey, if you're going to go, Get stabbed by a giant near a giant goldfish. That's how it's elegant. You know, it's classy. It's the classy way to go. All right. So moving forward with the story, we get they come up against the what's the character's name, the judge, the juror,
the magistrate. Oh, Elizabeth, magistrate. Oh yeah,
first name was Morgan.
Morgan Elizabeth or something? Morgan Elizabeth.
Something like that.
Morgan E.
The magistrate is what, yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. And then there's Michael Biehn, who was once in one timeline in the Terminator universe. He was Kyle Kreese. Is it Kyle Kreese, Tom?
John Connor's dad.
Reese?
Reese, that's
yeah.
it.
Reese.
So
I think you're thinking of Karate Kid.
Buddy, I'm thinking of a lot of things. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And then we go to a setup for later on, the Yoju. And I do have to admire the way they plant in these sort of storylines in episodes. You know, he's been obsessed with this ball all along. And then it turns out that the silver knob, pardon my English, is... you know, part of his test to see if he's got the Jedi powers. Now,
also, it looks like a tiny Death Star toy. Did anyone else pick up on that?
Kind of. Yeah, it did look like a little. There's like an English sharpener sort of Death Star about that size. It reminded me of.
Is it in galaxy merchandising?
Oh,
God. No, it actually exists within Star Wars.
Yeah, it's got trademark Batuu on the side of it.
Everybody will be after Grogu's knob. They'll just be after that.
Oh boy.
Oh, Grogu's knob, get a mother hut.
That's a Twitter account waiting to happen.
Wow. Blocked. Block it.
I want to say, while we're sitting here talking about Grogu, the puppetry in this episode is incredibly fantastic.
It's gorgeous.
When he's dozing off to sleep, when Ahsoka picks him up and they have that unspoken conversation, puppetry is so good in this. And I think it's a testament to the acting that people are able to interact with him in a way that looks believable. So I will say that.
Yeah.
100%.
Grogu, I don't know who he's played by, but he could be up for a few little Grogu trophies.
Wasn't he nominated last season? Or did he win?
For what?
Visual effects. It would have been the visual effects.
Oh, I think they did. I was like, did I miss Grogu's acceptance?
Oh, yeah, they put him in next to the actors. Yeah.
They created a new award for him. Cutest little actor award goes to.
There you go.
I think he won the hip hop award for Cash Money, just quietly.
There you go.
And some of these visuals, like in this forest, and it did feel, and pardon my exuberance if anyone disagrees, but it did feel quite cinematic, like movie level Star Wars experience.
I agree.
Now, help me out here, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't this guy locking his doors?
That's what I was wondering.
What is with this? Hey, it's just the honor system. Do you know what I mean? Like my wife, Jackie, she goes surfing, and you can't leave. You can't do the old surfing trick of leaving your keys on the tire anymore because people come along and steal your car. So they've all got these locks. But in like this is a far rougher, more ruthless universe than we live in. In some ways, but what's the deal? Can Tom, you're knee deep in Star Wars knowledge and backstory. How is there a force field? Is there like
I think Din just figured out that those yam stilt monsters, as our friend Robbo is referring to,
I love that
they can't fit within the doorway of the Razor Crest, so that's why he didn't bother closing it. That's my reason.
I would have liked to have seen the scene when those yam stilt monsters tried to break into that ship and fly it away.
And
it's just one of those planets you can leave your door open.
Yeah. It's like Canada.
It is the Canada of planets.
And then we've got this scene where Mandalorian, he's trying to get information, and he just goes up to people and goes, hey, you there. Hey, you there. It's just like, you talk about Jedi PR. This guy needs a bit of... And so the...
Not very discreet.
No. And then the kids look over. The dad's horrified because obviously Grogu's looking at him and he's just like, gonna eat him. Eat everyone's kids these days. Thank you.
Hey, kid, got any macaroons?
Oh, the $50 macaroons. Mm-hmm. Then we go into some sweet sci-fi stuff with the electrified ribs, which is pretty sweet. And then we come face-to-face and get the introduction of the Beskar spear, which...
I have a question on the Beskar. How much Beskar is too much Beskar? Like, is he just going to get too much? Like, is he going to keep making stuff out of Beskar, or is he going to be eventually just going, I'm going to sell this. I've got too much Beskar.
No, he's like Steve Sansweet. He just hangs on to it all. It doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? Just more the Beskar. I love the introduction of the Beskar spear because, you know, if you're going to introduce a silver little knob and use it later on, if you're introducing a Beskar spear, I'm feeling a bit of Darksaber action versus towards the end of the season.
I picked that up too.
Of course.
And it's like, because someone was saying that lightsabers, like maybe Ahsoka cut through like Mandalorian lightsabers in the Clone Wars or whatever, and that's Beskar. But this is pure Beskar. They've put that little Wikipedia asterisk into this. Courtney, what did you think of the standoff and the deal that he kind of made, the predicament that the magistrate put Din in to go find Ahsoka?
I thought that they did this in to the audience that Din was like, I didn't agree to anything. I do have it goes back to my like Jedi debate of like, how did he not know about the Jedi? Because so Beskar, clearly they cherish it and love it so much because it doesn't like that here are the Mandalorians and the Jedi have this big like long lasting feud. It was clearly so like sought out because it doesn't work or lightsabers can't cut through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like, they know that part of the lore, but not why. And so I was always like, where? Why don't you know the Jedi? So where? Just Google it. But it's on Google. Yeah.
Their archives suck in this galaxy.
They really do.
90% of the problems of Star Wars could be solved by Googling. I mean, I'm sure on Darth Vader's Wikipedia's page, it said formerly Anakin Skywalker, and Luke could have just Googled that, saved himself a whole ton of trouble.
If they had a LinkedIn, they could have just connected.
Yeah.
Rubbish.
Facebook should have suggested it. It's like, Dad, come on.
I like the concept that, you know, I do these like reaction video where I record, edit it, and it's like just what the things that I think of. And most of it is just Grogu doing stuff and me saying GIF because I know it's going to be a GIF on Twitter the next day. Mm-hmm. I want to see Courtney's version where she's just like, Google it. Google it.
It's like, Google it's like, it.
Where's your master? Google it. Google Maps.
If I were looking for like a mystical race of magical people, I would go to the HoloNet, which exists. There's holo tabloids. We know all these things. And I'd be like, okay, Jedi. And I know Luke would show up. He would be there. He would be in the news section. Be like, this kid.
Or you could just ask the first vendor you see on the next backwater planet you're on. Either one works.
Oh, yeah. Either or.
Well, this is like,
just ask him to borrow his phone.
Yeah.
I mean, can I just Google something on your phone, mate?
It's a stupid thing to be picky about, but it's just like, okay, so we know that Beskar, the reason why they use it is because it is like, it doesn't work with like lightsabers. Lightsabers can't cut through it.
Right.
But also, they don't, they're like, what? But where are the Jedi? I'm like, you just be part of the like, initiation. If he's part of like a, I'm just rambling now, but like, if he's part like of a cult, like part of the Mandalorians who are really stuck in tradition, wouldn't it have been like already brought up on the ways of on their history. I'm being super picky now. Back to Grogu. It's a weird name.
There you go.
Full circle.
Wow. It's like poetry, it rhymes.
Oh my god. Can I just say that that makes me think of the prequels, of course, and the fact that I'm not so much down on Grogu's name as I am the fact that he was at the Jedi Temple in Coruscant. Like, why does everything have to go back there? Why do we have to now think about, you know, where was he during Order 66 and how did he hide from Anakin and blah, blah, blah.
And how old is he? Like, was he...
He's about 50, isn't he?
He's 50, they said 50. In the first episode.
Right.
Yeah. Would they have been younglings together?
These it's a large questions. Temple.
I like the fact that he was there.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of Jedi Fallen Order, and I loved that game and kind of just, you know, chasing that kind of narrative of all the younglings that did escape. And now that he's one of them, I'm like, he's friends with Cal now. And
it just raises so many questions. And one of them was just raised in the conversation just now. How did he and Ahsoka not cross paths?
Well, like Maria said, it's a big temple. Yeah. And I think that opens it up to an interesting story. I think that's a real legitimate answer. And it could be an interesting story if they do it right, Steele, about who took him and why, when they took him, if it was like during Order 66 or before Order 66. I think there's potential there.
Will they do another?
Tom, I appreciate you having my back out there.
Always.
I think that the third member of Yoda's species ever to have appeared.
Yaddle.
On Coruscant.
Justice for Yaddle.
Let's go, Yaddle.
I think that would occasion comment, you know, just around the water cooler.
Did Yaddle get totally overlooked as well? Because she says, I've only ever seen one other of his kind.
Well, it just means Ahsoka never ran into Yaddle.
Yeah, we only saw her in The Phantom Menace.
Yaddle is high maintenance. She's got to get her hair done. She's got to get her eyebrows waxed. She got a lot of shit to do. Okay, so Yaddle doesn't have time to be all up in the Jedi Council like that. She only comes when she's looking fly. So if she's not all together, she ain't with it. Look, you don't know Yaddle the way I know Yaddle. Okay,
this is like a side story about Yaddle, but I tweeted Justice for Yaddle at midnight the episode came out because that's my brand is Justice for Yaddle, and it has been for like 2 years. And Holly Madison, who is on Girls Next Door, a former Playboy bunny, liked my tweet, and I was like,
"That's dope,
dope AF." Like, and it wasn't like a tweet that went viral; it had like 40 likes. So was she just searching Yaddle results? I stand. Like she was just like, you know what? Yaddle. Who else wasn't thinking about Yaddle? So now we're friends.
How you forget about Dre or Yaddle is beyond me. It can't happen, bitch. You can't forget about them. You can't. How can you forget about Yaddle?
Motherfuckers act like they forgot about Yaddle.
That's it.
Yaddle is like there was a legends. About Yaddle, right?
Now I'm picturing. I'm picturing. I'm in my head. I've got the start of Steel Dre that and Yaddle's on a lowrider going up and down.
You can hear it now. You're welcome.
Yeah, but so Yaddle in canon now, like we don't have an official answer to what happened to her, right?
She never left the Jedi. She just left the Council. So, like, timeline-wise, so just because I looked this up, because in my, like, bit about Yaddle, which everyone took way too seriously, I was joking all about it, and people were furious at me. And I'm like, not really that serious, but I learned a lot while doing the research for my fake argument. So Ahsoka was 3 when she joined taken in by the Jedi, which would have been a year before Phantom Menace. So Yaddle was indeed still on the Jedi Council when Ahsoka was there. So there still pretty much would have been opportunities for them to meet. And she's had plenty of Padawans. And so little Yaddle. So I feel like she would have been scouting around, you know, meeting the up and comings. Just saying.
We also have a sort of Rise of Skywalker kind of situation here where I never thought I'd have to consider the Emperor's sex life, right? And now we have to actually ask the questions about Yoda and Yaddle's sex life.
I swear to God, may be the result.
I don't think there's a need to even ask that question. Have you seen Yaddle? Okay. You already know she's getting it. It's flawless.
That's why she's too busy for the council.
Is that a real question right now? She was like, knows Yaddle's thick. Look at her.
So yeah. Grogu's clear love child.
I don't know if they had sex. I'm just saying Yaddle is definitely getting it.
Oh, yeah. That's why she left the council. Yeah, she wanted to have more sex. She wasn't allowed to in the council. So she
right. That's a reason to get off the council for sure. That's a reason to get off the council.
Look at her.
Unless you're Anakin, then you just get it on the side.
Yeah. I love that forehead. It's so sexy.
Mm-hmm. But check that hairline, though. That hairline is flawless.
Do my eyes deceive me, or does she have freckles?
She does.
It looks like it, yeah.
She does. Yeah. She's also got sensitive skin, and that's okay. But she's exfoliating, though. Look, she don't have look at those. She don't even have those wrinkles like Yoda do. Yeah. Come on, now.
The day over 400.
Stop the cycle, baby. Don't come for Yaddle. Please don't come for Yaddle on this. Please don't do this. I thought we were friends.
Look, this picture. If you need to be clicking on the YouTube if you're just listening to the podcast, but we've got this Photoshop of Yaddle, Grogu, and Yoda, and it tells a story because, like, Yaddle's got a face of like, I'm busted. Grogu's like, is that my mum? And then Yoda's got this look of like, hell yeah, it's your mum.
I was going to say, have you taken this as a still from the Jerry Springer moment? Of like, she's the mom.
The midichlorian count is in.
There you go. There you go. Let's get to the M count, baby. Let's see the results.
Star Wars reference. Star Wars
there
reference.
You go. Just layer Star Wars references. Layer them up. That's what we need to do in here. Shout out to the haters in the chat that have been hating on me. What's up? I appreciate you. Stay true. But I do want to mention George. We talked about George earlier. And because George gave us Ahsoka, right? This was his last major character that he gave us. I think it's important that we thank George for his contribution and let that kind of marinate with the fans. I don't know if everyone knows that George and Dave really partnered on Ahsoka, and he was one of the people who believed very strongly because of his daughters that it was time for a female to take center stage as a Jedi in full action. So I think it's a good place and time in the live stream to shout out George for being ahead of his time. Thanks, George.
Mm-hmm. Nice, George.
Love you.
Enjoy your Grogu, George.
I love that picture of him with Baby Yoda just holding him. And he's like, Papa.
Like the one that's super out of focus.
Yeah, yeah. Blurry picture.
Oh,
yeah.
Speaking of which.
Just like that. Just like that pose exactly. Right there. That's it. That's
wait,
what
I got to vibrate slightly. Yeah.
There you go. Keep him from crying. Keep him from crying.
I just noticed Jimmy's background update. That is exceptional. That is. I wonder. And I hope we get – it's hard because no one's doing anything in public, and it's hard to get George Lucas to talk about anything. But I would love to hear about what George thinks about – this is like one of the – you know, maybe the last big character that George conceived.
Hello.
What's his take? So, I'd love to hear that. Now, listen, when – I've said I watched Star Wars – to feel like a 12-year-old boy, because that's like the funnest time, and that's my experience. And listen, the 12-year-old boy in me was fired up, pun intended, for this quick showdown. Like Attack of the Clones, Jedi versus Mando, and it was so good. This quick interaction with the flame and then the standoff, absolutely adored. How'd you go, Jimmy?
It's insane. Like every time Mando uses his flamethrower, I squeal like a tiny child. It is just so cool. And also that fight was really reminiscent of that fight between Boba Fett and Luke on the sail barge in Return of the Jedi, to that point where, like, you know, he got his grappling hook around him and then he did the flip. Yeah. There's just so many kind of moments where I was like, oh, this is happening again. In the timeline that would have happened, what, like 6 years prior? Or yeah. But so cool. And also I was also just a bit kind of surprised that Ahsoka just came out guns blazing. Like, wasn't even like, hey, what's your name? What's your deal? She just attacked him straight away and he had to be like,
do you know why? Do you know why? She Googled it. She goes, are there any bounties out on me on this planet? Yes, the Mandalorian has been offered a spear, quick to, and then it's behind a paywall, but she's read enough. Do you know what I mean? She didn't know he wasn't going to take it seriously.
Just read the tweet. Didn't read the article, read the tweet.
I'm just happy to say something on this show that Courtney agrees with. So that's a huge win. It's making podcast history yet there.
Also, he's pretty much dropped his bounty hunter's code now. Like, he's breaking it left, right, and center. Like, he got
never
a gig.
Agreed to it, though.
Ah, it was his clever wordplay. Yeah, right.
I just don't know how Din was able to participate in that fight with Baby Yoda in a pack on his hip.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Yeah.
That is, talking about bad spy skills, that the fact, I mean, oh, bad parenting skills. Oh my God. He's just walking around with this kid in the pack everywhere and everyone can see it. And like his disguise is, oh, I'll just put my cloak over him.
I was hoping that somewhere, like, as he's walking through, like, one of the townspersons were just like, is that a baby in your pocket or are you just happy to see me? You know, like, there's this little cute, just Baby Yoda, just kind of hanging out. Yeah,
I really hope that the end of the season is just, you know, Galactic Child Protective Services just coming along.
There you go.
Just arresting him. It'd be a very like Holy Grail kind of ending. Yeah. Where the police
That's actually what Gideon's, you know, true cause is. He actually works for child protection.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Just very, very aggressive.
Like, I have a list of things here that you've done.
Aggressive branch.
Apparently you went to a cantina on Tatooine and left your kid locked up on your ship.
You fed him a woman's children. Yeah.
Yeah, he stole macaroons. He became a school bully.
You're eating unborn babies, ghost, ice spiders. Yeah.
It's too much.
I love the fight choreography in this scene here. And I will say this, the fight scenes with Ahsoka are very on brand for the way that her fighting style works. So I will say that whoever worked with Rosario to get her ready in terms of the physicality did a great job. So shout out to the fight scene choreographers.
I do have a question, just because I only saw the episode once and it was at midnight and I was tired. Did she use backward sabers?
She did not use the backward move. I was waiting for it.
I thought she did switch once at the end. But
she
did
switch, it wasn't the T from the Forces of Destiny maneuver. I was waiting on that. That didn't show up, but she did a quick behind the back, but it wasn't exactly.
But she didn't
what
like
I was
fight with
for.
The reverse grip.
Right. It was very minimal. But I will say this, like the way that she turned her wrist, it was very Ahsoka. So the fighting style is there and the movement is there. I really like the style of dress while we're talking about Ahsoka and the way that she looks and she's represented. I like the samurai pants. It's a little bit of an update from the season 7 wardrobe, but still in line with the color design and the color palette choice. And it would have been really easy and simple to sexualize this character or make this character look a little bit more edgy. And they didn't go that direction. So I will say kudos to the design team for keeping it classy and showing an honest reflection of what the character would look like visually in the quote unquote real world. And it would be just as easy for a man to step into this role because there's no hint of sexualization for the character. So thank you. Appreciate that, design team.
Yeah.
Speaking of the design team, the cinematography. Now,
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Courtney, you are an artist. You appreciate art. What did you make of, were you as impressed as I, the layperson, with the visuals?
That was actually probably one of my favorite parts of the episodes. I thought the visuals were beautiful. I really did like the visuals. And just to make the comment, I wasn't critiquing Ahsoka not fighting that way. I was just asking if she ever did, because I thought it would be. But like the comments were like, she all freaked out. I'm like, no, I wasn't critiquing. I was just wondering if they ever referenced it. I'm sorry. But
you don't have to.
I know. But I really love the visuals in this episode. I thought they were stunning. You made a comment earlier about it feeling like a movie, and while some of the pacing issues I had like issues with, that didn't quite feel like a film. I thought the cinematography and how everything looked, it really was its own. I really liked, and I did quite think the art direction was very good in this episode and the cinematography.
And such gorgeous use of light as well, I thought, especially in those forest scenes where that fog was going through. You really had that kind of, you know, the dark trees and then the gray and then those sort of giant silhouettes of the yam monsters. It was beautiful. It looked a lot like a computer game called Limbo, actually. But, just gorgeous. And also just all of that kind of almost shot-for-shot Kurosawa set pieces in the town. It was really cool.
The shot of the, what do you call them, the yam creatures,
those stilty yam monster things,
that shot of them reminded me so much of that opening shot of in the Phantom Menace trailer with the kadoos coming through with the gunk, just that mysterious and like a creature. Now for me, one of the highlights of The Mandalorian, the main highlight is the relationship between Din and Grogu, if you will. And the scene, you know, Tom, your kids are a lot older than mine, but the scene where, like, Din really came out of his shell as a father with his pride in him getting to float. I just loved after he floated the ball of just like, yeah, see what he did? Yeah, good job. Like, that's like, listen, like, that's like me after Harry like vomits on me. I'm like, sweet spew. That was a big boy spew. Nice work. Nice work.
Just like dad.
Yeah. Hey, settle down. Don't start rumors. Tom, what did you think of the whole sort of the testing scene and that sort of gear?
I thought it was absolutely parental, as you said, and it's just like a father not to realize the effect that they have on their kids.
Yeah.
Not to realize that, as Ahsoka said, that connection that he has with Grogu is important. And then once that action is taken, once Grogu catches it, you know, seeing that and establishing pride, I think he's starting to realize his emotions for Grogu also. And this, you know, there are a ton of possibilities from every episode this season, but especially this one, whether Grogu will be taken by the Jedi or whether the titular Mandalorian isn't Din, but is Grogu, because now they're a clan of two. And that's a possibility where all of this is going to.
And then we get, the development that Ahsoka won't train Grogu because of his anger, gets a sweet reference out to the prequels.
Yeah.
She should have winked at the camera and said available on Disney Plus, but whatever. not enough synergy there for me. And then
you just said, you mean fear leads to anger? What? What does that then lead to? I've had that whole reference anyway.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm like, it's so weird because like in like Solo and Rogue One, the heavy references just like, nah, but sometimes in this, like when she talked about there's much fear in him, I was just like, oh, it's a line from the other movie. That's a really sweet one, you guys. And
I was so glad, by the way, I put out a story last week saying, is Baby Yoda going to the dark side? An investigation. And it was, you know, it was not sort of, a lot of people didn't really notice that he's, you know, he's been stealing stuff. It's been played for laughs kind of, but this kid clearly has a streak of naughtiness bordering on something more than naughtiness.
He's a cheeky boy. He can be a cheeky boy.
But I'm glad to see that acknowledged as like, like he does have issues. He has anger issues.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he's someone who's been experimented on, you know, without consent. You know, taken from his only home. You know, he's got some issues that need to be addressed. And I think he's, you know, got a right to those problems.
For sure.
I would feel that way too.
Well, and he acted out on his first day at school, his first 5 minutes of school.
I know, right?
So,
dude, those things cost $50 a pack.
Yeah,
I'm not giving one to my best friend, let alone some dude that just rocked up.
I have a bit of anxiety about Grogu and, you know, where he sits on the light side or the dark side of the Force, because still, as you know, I got a tattoo of Grogu on the back of my leg, maybe after the first episode of The Mandalorian. Wow. And my wife was like, what if he turns, what if he's like baby Hitler, you know, like what if he goes full crazy? And I was like, he's not going to. And then the first season ended and I'm like, this tattoo, he's a good boy. But again, now I'm not so sure. And does that really matter? It kind of makes him more interesting, right?
Oh, Grogu. up to his old tricks again. I think you'll be fine. I'll think you'll be fine. Now, again, 12-year-old me, seeing a Jedi and a Mando team up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? They realize they're on the same side and they're off.
Exciting.
Oh, man.
It's almost like we saw it before on season 7 of Clone Wars. Jesus.
Listen. I Maria, I'm already on thin ice with Courtney, all right? It's this live action thing, okay? So just...
Here we go.
I feel like you're working against me here. But then this is just a spectacular bit of action. Jumping up on the building, I was like, I did feel like I was watching a season of Clone Wars. And then this shot, the Jedi and the Mando.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was some good action. I do have to say, the introduction that... or the backstory that Ahsoka introduced about him getting taken. Like, I know, like, the Coruscant thing for some people was a bit on the nose, but the bit where he said he'd blocked out the, like, he became, like, his memory is, like, hazy and he blocked out the Force to protect him. Like, Grogu.
Yeah.
Grogu. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you just got to look at the camera and go, Grogu. Atheist Bear is in the super chat and says, oh, this is a spoiler, and this will enrage King Tom, who hates this film for some reason.
Am I allowed to use certain language on this podcast?
just beep yourself. I listen to you on the Sith List every week. I do remember why you hate this. This ongoing thing that King Tom swears every time they mention Tenet.
Okay. And,
you got it in. Grogu catching the ball instead of throwing it was straight out of Tenet. Catching the ball instead of throwing it. Okay. Well, that's increased my interest in Tenet.
I haven't seen Tenet yet because I've been stuck in quarantine in Victoria and the movies have just opened. So I can't wait to be disappointed like Tom.
Have you even seen it, Tom?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no desire to see it.
Wow.
Say why you don't like it. It's some a trailer or something, yeah.
Because I have a rational hatred of movies they show long 5-minute previews for on opening night of Star Wars movies.
So every Christopher Nolan film.
Yeah. It was Tenet. It was the Dunkirk.
Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises. And there was one other, the one with the sloth, the Disney or Pixar movie about the
Zootopia.
Zootopia. Oh, yeah. And so they show this, you know, the other ones are okay. But for Tenet, you're in a crowded movie theater. And the scene they show is of a crowded theater, opera theater, and in a terrorist attack. I'm with my daughter. She's 10 years old. And she's like practically having a panic attack. And I see other people around the theater are too. It's not the best thing to show. Never mind the fact I don't want to watch 5 minutes of something that isn't Star Wars when I am there to clearly watch Star Wars. But the material is questionable. So I don't like Tenet.
Ah, so that's why when you met that Ahsoka cosplayer, she said that your child's got this memory, and then she goes into a cinema, and then it's hazy after that. It's like,
yes,
that was exactly. A bit of a walk.
Yeah, that was.
Hey, dude, I'm staying fit on this podcast. Don't worry, I'm getting what. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. But
love ya.
Hey, Maria, I appreciate your honesty.
I'm nothing if not that, for sure. I think there's a lot of Princess Mononoke vibes on the top of those rooftops too. I just wanted to quickly shout out some anime as well. It was pretty dope.
Then we get a sweet Star Wars reference with the Master getting announced as Grand Admiral Thrawn. Chris, listen, this is the thing about Corey and Noah couldn't be with
us. Love you, Corey. You're my boy.
I'm fond of you, Noah. Okay. I don't want to make you feel included. But, to balance things out, those guys had this is it. I said to Corey, I said, oh, is it kind of depressing that your life, you know, you're 21. You've seen this episode, and now your life is—it's all downhill now. Like this is it. This is all you've got.
Well, maybe you'll meet a nice lady.
Yeah, I think
or a pair of Crocs.
I think this is the nice lady that he met on Disney Plus. they're they just won the Super Bowl or a similar sporting event. I'm not that learned about it, but Chris, what did you think about the introduction of the name of Grand Admiral Thrawn into live action Star Wars, and what could it mean for future viewing?
So the first tweet I sent about the first Mandalorian of the season said, "Now that's what I call fan service," and that's what I call fan service. Chapter 9. This had a similar fit. Like you're just going to throw in the name of Thrawn that we all know, so we can get excited about it, but it doesn't really make sense in terms of, you know, when you're sort of referencing the end of Rebels and the whole situation with Ezra, and it just, I don't know. And like, I maybe I'm just old fashioned in wanting one big villain per Star Wars, like, sure. Or at least villains who are friends. So, there are two possibilities here, right? Either Moff Gideon is working for Thrawn and the threads are connected, or there's no connection at all, and Ahsoka's just off on her own mission. And I'm hoping it's answer B.
Same.
I'm not necessarily itching to see Thrawn in live action. I would be excited to see it if they get it right. But it's just, plot-wise, it is confusing, and it is distracting. And it kind of takes away from the incredible character that Moff Gideon is, and the amazing performance that Giancarlo puts into it. That should be the focus. And I don't, it feels a little too Filoni-esque in a bad way. And that's not often a thing, you know, because for the most part, he's a great guy, a great writer who knows how to build up tension. But it just felt like he was kind of reaching over here with this other grab bag. and I've seen a fair amount of criticism that I think is warranted, that like Star Wars can't just go its, like new Star Wars can't go its own path. It always gets a little bit afraid and kind of goes back to the well and like, oh, I'm going to pick up this other character here just so you remember it's Star Wars and it's all interconnected and it's really a small galaxy after all.
Like that's just the nature of the beast with Star Wars. Like it's that 17-year gap between Jedi and the Phantom Menace that like it just turned into this like nostalgia. Like, you know, I was reading someone's tweet today about, you know, Star Wars originally, wasn't it about, you know, these references and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, what, Anakin Skywalker built C-3PO. Like it's, do you know what I mean? I feel like it's from that gap that, mm-hmm. you know, like people were kids, they watched, they loved it. And then, you know, they, you know, and there's a negative part of it where it's like, they feel like they deserve to be reminded about the characters they liked and stuff. You know, you go into like Luke Skywalker territory, you know, and the backlash to what happened to him. But it's such a bizarre thing. And I don't know. I don't know if you can compare it to any other sort of franchise, because you've got like comic books that, you know, they don't do it like that because they just just start again. Mm-hmm. So like, maybe like Star Trek, but you know, they've sort of, you know, gone into it as well. It's a weird.
They can always have parallel universes and reset buttons, like, you know, Star Trek is four of them. Star Wars can never do that. It's always got to be connected. But you can be connected without all of the stories having to feed in to the same reservoir of characters, you know?
Yeah, well, what about...
something that Filoni suffers from. I mean, anybody who knows anything about Dave knows he cannot resist putting his characters into something. So it's just, it's a byproduct of Filoniism. So you just take the good with the bad and then you have Filoniism.
Now, I have to say, Jordan Taylor, who's, you know, a great guy, and I bet this is a common thing, you'll never make all of Star Wars fans happy. What, of anything, makes everyone happy?
That's true. You can't make all WWE fans happy either.
Oh, wrestling fans? Oh, my God. Like, they, like, it's, like, half the people are into it to be unhappy. And,
yeah.
and I will say, like, and for good reason, but... it's not like there's no fandom that's this big, you know, it's only like in sports when a team wins is everyone that's into something like completely happy.
Yeah. I feel like with Mando though, like, you know, this ebb and flow of core fan happiness, it seems to be more in the positive than it has been for a long time with Mandalorian. Am I wrong in saying that? It seems like, it's the general vibe is so much more positive because of this series.
Well this
it's
is
a uniter, not a divider.
Well, it has been until now. I feel like.
Well, I think go ahead, Steele. My bad.
Oh no, my bad. You go.
Well, I think you were talking first.
Hey, it's not a competition. And Courtney's going to get upset at me for stealing her podcast name. So we won't get into who talks first. See, reference. Podcast reference,
there
Courtney.
There it is. full circle.
I wish I could remember what I was going to say right now.
And with that gone, back.
Can I bring up a point I just thought?
Yeah.
I think that the reason that I had so much hope that The Mandalorian would tell new stories and why I'm so glad it is mostly telling new stories is the fact that it is the only one of the spin-offs that has been announced that is a completely new character. Right. Mm. Everything else is reaching back, not looking forward. And we're going to have to look forward sooner or later. You know, all of the supposed trilogies of movies that we may or may not get are all going somewhere new. Right. That's the whole idea. Tell new stories in this massive galaxy. Mm-hmm. You know, find a different time period, whatever. And I'd hope that the Mandalorian, and I still think the Mandalorian is kind of a bridge to that. So I don't mind if this happens occasionally, you know, if Thrawn is just a reference, but like, you know, it's I worry. I want it to be a little more Favreau and a little less Filoni, if that makes sense, right? Just let's try it a new way. Let's try, you know, let's experiment and see what's different about it. So this is the show to do that in, not all of the other ones.
The I'm just going to log out for 2 seconds. You got, and because someone's just said I'm out of sync. So but yeah, I'll be just don't be in fear. Tom, give us your thoughts, and I'll be back.
I saw a bunch of people are talking about, you know, how to use Thrawn from here on out. And I'm wondering if not only would he be part of whatever the Rebels sequel is, but whether we would also see him in the Cassian show too, because he would be around then also.
Possible.
That's possible too, Robbo.
See, when Jimmy, you were saying about how it's sort of like a unifying like show, I feel like the first season was mm-hmm. that, because it was all new characters, it was this new situation, it was, you know, set in this time that we've had, you know, near nothing about. It's sort of like a, you know, that post Jedi time is a golden era for you know, fans of my age.
Definitely.
But I feel like this season, once you start introducing these other characters that people have attachments to, mm-hmm. like that's when, you know, there's a lot of like, it's, you know, to be honest, without Corey here, it's like the vibe's been far less positive than I would imagine. And then people in the chat are upset about that, and you know, like it's sort of like once you start throwing in these legacy characters, like it's easy, and you know, I like it when it's done right, but you also like, I always think about, and I was a part of, I wasn't there, but I was a part of this, the people that cried at that Force Awakens trailer that they showed at Celebration in 2015, like they showed video of people crying in the stadium. I was by myself in Australia crying. Sorry, Chris. Another sign of what was going on. But like that passion that invokes those tears when it's like seen as betrayed or not lived up to or not respected, it turns to like vitriol, like very quickly if it's not checked. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm not sure if anyone's seen this prequel trilogy, but it's there's a lot of lessons in there on how to handle like emotions and stuff. So that's just me.
No, I think to your point, Steele, it was kind of a Trojan horse. We're into season two, and now we're bringing in these established in-universe characters, and the interconnectedness can either be this thing that elevates it or kills it. So I think we're at an interesting crossroads, and it depends on how they want to take it and what they want to do with it. But I think it has to be done very carefully, and I think there has to be a gentle balance between the established character that we know and introducing a mainstream version of that character to general audiences.
Mm-hmm. I thought the way that they introduced Boba Fett, I think, is the blueprint. It was perfect.
Yeah,
that was
amazing.
So subtle.
I thought Bo-Katan was great too. The way they introduced her was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It explained in a few short sentences who she is, where the armor comes from, what she's after. I think it's very clear what her goal is. So yeah, I just, you know, everyone has hits and misses. I don't want it to be misconstrued. I enjoyed the episode for what it was, but I was hoping for more.
I suspect,
but, you know,
we won't.
It's early. Something else could happen.
I suspect we won't see Ahsoka again for some time. Maybe like season finale, maybe, just thinking like a writer, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was sort of in my head putting together all these characters he's meeting along the way in this season, going, oh, this is going to be such a team up at the end.
Yeah.
You've got like Cobb Vanth and, you know, Boba Fett, Bo-Katan, Mercedes, Sasha Banks' character.
The boss.
But I don't know if I feel like this is – okay, here's the deal. Ahsoka mentioning Grand Admiral Thrawn, just by thumbs up or thumbs down? Okay. Now, Courtney, would you like it more if it was just a way to kick off that Rebels sequel?
Like, what do you mean? Like, well, if...
Like, if this Ahsoka, like, injection of the character and mentioning Grand Admiral Thrawn, if that's just an introduction to the Mandalorian, Disney Plus, like 80 million subscribers, hey, there's this character in this show you watch every week, and then we're going to have something about it later on. Would that, like, turn you around, or would you think that cheapens it even more?
No, if it was animated, but I know I'm in the minority of that, is if they continue Rebels, that series, that connection, if it returns to being an animated series, I think would be a cool little, like, Easter egg. But I also have, like, I have biased views of the Rebels finale to begin with that leads to why I don't like Thrawn being mentioned. So, I mean, it's not even where Thrawn being mentioned. It's the conflict from the source of it too now. I also am just, if it I just kind of wanted Mando to stay its own thing. I love, like, the little things that Mando has done. Like I mentioned before, I loved Bo-Katan and I loved like little pits, but like we're getting a little too close to it constantly needing to reach into that pool. So I think if it stays animated, I will be absolutely fine with it. I don't need to see Ahsoka again in Mando. But I know people will disagree with that.
Do we think
Ezra's can you imagine Zeb in live action? Like, that doesn't
terrifying. Terrifying.
That wouldn't work. Come on.
I mean, there's a suggestion that we're going to get Ezra at some point, right? And then possibly...
Yeah. I would be down with the Ezra.
Well, before I mention that I would like to have the Rebel sequel in live action, Courtney actually does have to go. So I'm timing it perfectly. Now,
you're just making sure now you can all trash animation all you want now.
I like animation. I'm just biased. Okay. I'm just biased. Now, Courtney, you do... A really cool fan pin range at Squadron Goals. Can you give us a quick sizzle of where to go to find out about that?
SquadronGoals.com.
Excellent.
I make a bunch of Star Wars things. Look at fun. Look at Mando Patch. Wow, they're all just sitting next to me, so I'm just pulling out promos. This one's available on the site now. Rebels Patch, not available yet, but will be soon.
Nice. I want that. I want all of those.
SquadronGoals.com. Didn't you listen to the plug?
Ah, yes.
Now, tell me this, Courtney.
Yes.
Who talks first? Will it ever return? That was one of my favorite Star Wars podcasts.
It will. I mean, obviously, just by I got to a place after Tross where it was very hard for me to not spend an entire episode like just critiquing and being angry about certain things. So we just had to put it on the back burner. And then obviously with COVID happening, I couldn't be in the same room with my co-host. And it just got to be a thing. And it got to a part where we didn't want to constantly be negative as we were feeling. And so we'll come off hiatus eventually. I've been trying to come up with ways to not be so bitter sometimes.
Haven't we all? Haven't we all?
But then, of course, I'm like, when you're invited me to come on this show this week, and I was like, oh, sweet. And then I watched the episode. I'm like, oh, no, I'm bitter again. Dang it. I was so excited. Like, I won't be bitter. I'm not going to do it. And here I am being bitter.
Well, like to be honest, one of the things I find intriguing about Star Wars fandom is all the different people I meet and their backgrounds and their histories and how the same media, like, affects them.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's sort of like this cool thing about Star Wars. It is, you know, it's you know, meant for kids, but it goes for all ages. Everyone that wants to feel like a kid again can watch it. And it's always been a fascinating sort of thing for me to see how different people, how they react to something and why. And it's sort of like even like this thing with Rosario Dawson, like finding out why people are upset about this, and like it's so informative, like about other people that so many people that are different are like watching the same thing. So, yeah, I miss finding out what you think about things, buddy. So you talk to Solo and you find that microphone, buddy.
It's buried somewhere.
It's the two of them are buried next to the Lars homestead, I think.
Probably. It's just like that, the two sabers. I'm like, all right, there's the microphone. Got it.
Let's go. All right, Courtney, thanks so much. And
thank you guys.
I'll see you on the internet. Enjoy
it. Yes, indeed. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, check out squadrongoals.com and on Instagram. Very fun Instagram account to follow. Bye, Courtney.
Bye, Courtney.
So we hit the... Oh, why am I so big? That's not my intention. The passing of the spear. King Tom, this spear. I've heard people say Bo-Katan's going to use it to get back the Darksaber. She's not the star of the show. The Mandalorian is. I feel like the season finale is a speared up Din Djarin against Moff Gideon in a fight for the angels. Ages. Feel free to disagree or validate my very obvious theory.
No, I think your very obvious theory is very much on the money. I think that's where it's looking like they're going. And, you know, with the Beskar armor and the solid Beskar spear, I don't think Moff Gideon and the Darksaber stand a chance. My question, though, about that that final duel, as it were, did Ahsoka ever get the other lightsaber out of the koi pond?
Ah, good call.
There are two things they didn't show. Mm-hmm. They didn't show her retrieving the lightsaber. They didn't show Din retrieving his shoulder.
Yeah, I think the guy handed it to him or something.
Oh, really?
I think he got it back.
No, he definitely had it on at the end.
He had it, yeah. But I need those edited in moments of like a hand reaching down into the koi pond. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a hand picking up. Like, just... But otherwise, I worry. I worry that they've lost them.
We don't even know what happened with the
guardian lady.
Yeah, like the magistrate. Like,
yeah, she kind of was like, "Tell me about him." And then it kind of cut, and they were all kind of just mm-hmm. about to leave. It sort of brushed over it, didn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
yep. So she might come back with Bill Burr. Who knows? Huh? You know what Maybe I'm saying?
It isn't often I say this with Mandalorian episodes. I think this could have been two episodes. Mm. I think that there was a lot that they were trying to pack in. We could have had more of that, of the Ahsoka character that we were missing. You know, just split it in two. I don't know. I don't know how that would work exactly, but yeah, seems like an awful waste of the set and a waste of the setup.
Some people in the chat just said that she had two lightsabers on her belt at the end. Yeah, so thank you.
She did.
Clearing
they
up.
They were made by the same people who made the new Apple iPhone, so they're waterproof. So they don't have any ports where they can get water in. So it's fine.
Oh, I hope they charge better. Bloody hell. These things the worst.
They are the shittest thing ever.
They're fine. You just got to stick the lightsaber in a bag of rice overnight.
There you go. There you go. And it'll be right as rain.
Yeah. That's the best.
That's right. But yeah, that establishing shot at the end where the legitimate magistrate is back and he's in his robes, you do see both lightsabers on her belt.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And the signet.
Now.
You can rest easy.
Yeah.
I have a question. Is Din getting sort of annoyed, though, you know, at the end of every episode? I'm sure he doesn't say this is the end of the episode because he's living his whole life. But if someone could just tell him the direct place to go rather than every episode, it'd be like, yeah, you've arrived. Oh, sorry, you haven't arrived. You've got to go to this next spot. And I know that's what the whole show is.
Yeah, but it's first, a lot like a trying to purchase drugs. It's a lot like that. If you've ever tried to buy Coke... Never. And you don't have a plug. It's a lot like that. It's like, no, we don't have it here. You've got to go downtown and you got to talk to Joe. But when you go to the club, you got to be cool and you got to tell him that old man Jacob sent you. Like, what the hell type of quest is this?
And you're taking a baby at the same time to get the car.
On the bus.
Is that the whole rule of just never go to a second location? Like, that's Mando keeps going to a second location.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
With totally. A kid.
it's Maria's metaphor is hitting a bit too close in the chat right now.
See, I told you I'd win them over eventually.
Oh, how could you not, Maria? How could you not?
I'm more than a pretty face. I'm pretty funny too.
Very. This is for me the highlight of the episode. One of the highlights of the entire series. It was I bought into it, like because Din bought into it. He thought he was saying goodbye, like that. Like in the universe, Din was saying goodbye to Grogu, and oh my god, it was like I. You know, caught right at the start of the episode. I was tearing up towards the end. Tom, how did it go? How'd you go, buddy?
With the ending?
Yeah, and with the touching scene between Grogu and Dinju.
Yeah, it was... Dinju. I won't with that. Before you start asking if you will.
Sister's in the house.
Yeah, I thought it was a good touching end, and you know they're gonna tease whether or not Grogu is gonna leave Din at some point, or if someone is going to come for him, and that's going to be a whole nother story. But there's this emotion building that we know as an audience is there between the two of them, and I think that's gonna get heavier in a good way as the season goes on.
I fear that this can only be leading to one thing, which is we're
invasion.
Invasion. Communications destruction can be only one thing.
I said the thing from the thing.
The wipe eyes down.
Star Wars reference. Yes.
I tried to Google it. I couldn't get through it. Communications destruction. I fear that we are building to an Empire Strikes Back like ending for this season where we are going to, like the child is going to be taken. Kidnapped, yes. Moff Gideon is going to get his hands on him. Like, we're going to have to wait a whole year to find out. I feel that's, you know, that's why they're really leathering on the father-son, lone wolf cub kind of thing.
Yeah, they're going to rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
I just saw in the comments, Leija was saying she loved it when Grogu would respond to his name being called, and that was so cute when, Mando said Grogu for the first time, and he just went, huh? It was just like, oh, so my heart.
So cute.
Little Grogu.
Little Grogu. Yeah, I do worry about that tracker, man. I think you're onto something, buddy. Like, I feel like the other shoe's going to drop. And then I'm just going to be screaming, no!
Now, listen. At the end, they said the Grogu. I'm going to call him the Grogu from now on.
Okay.
The Grogster.
The Grog. The Grog.
Maybe like the Rock,
if he can't be trained because of his anger, but if he goes to a certain planet which has got
a snorting hat,
the planet's got an EU backstory to it. It's it's been established.
We've also seen it in the new U in the comics.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
It's a snowy planet.
We've never seen one of those before.
Oh, boy.
What about... This is a cool... I just thought of this. What about in a science fiction program? You go to a snowy planet, but the snow's a different color. Hey?
I like that.
Blue snow in honor of Tom's hair.
What about if you think it's snow and then you taste it, it's actually salt?
Yeah, there you go. Salt.
Not too shabby, but
it's yellow.
So
he said the thing from the thing.
If you take a Grogu and you put him on this mountain, he can beam out and bring in and other Jedi can feel the vibes.
Yeah.
Now listen. I should be against the introduction of Luke Skywalker into this story at all. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, but when I'm tempted with it, when it's there at the party and everyone else is doing it, yeah. Boy, I want to hit it too. And if it's not actually there, maybe I'll start ringing around and say, hey, anyone got this Luke? Like, let's, do you know what I mean? Like,
Marie
is a bad influence. Marie is a bad influence on my metaphors. I'm holding out. Hey, could you imagine it being anyone else, Tom?
No, not at this time. I cannot.
Chris, what do you reckon?
Given that, that Luke has clearly failed to build a structure to his organization, like a hierarchy, like maybe some deputies, you know, he spent, what, 30 years being the last Jedi, and okay, he tried to start a school, and that kind of got messed up, and I accept that, but maybe he could have hired some new folks. You know, the I'm sure the galactic economy was hurting and more people need jobs. And, you know, don't just train Jedi, bring in, you know, people to administer the new Jedi organization. So, but yeah, it, absent that, it does actually have to be Luke, right? Super CGI'd, End of the Last Jedi style, you know, hologram Luke, if you will.
Ah, no, because you haven't heard about my conspiracy theory. Star Wars.
Oh.
Hey.
Yes.
Tom, would you like to tell them how it goes? You've probably heard it 27 times or not?
I'm not familiar. It's not coming to mind.
Sebastian Stan, while he's on the set of the little Hawkeye, you know, what is it called? Winter Soldier. He secretly filmed a Luke Skywalker scene. That's my Star Wars conspiracy theory.
Okay.
So but the thing is, I know I shouldn't want it. Like, it's like at the start of this, oh, let's have Luke Skywalker in it. But I'm so close to getting him, and I see Corey, and he's all, it's the best. I want to have the best day ever.
I agree with, is it Spademan 3 in the comments was saying, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it at the very end of all of the Mando seasons. Otherwise, you've just played that card and it's too difficult to get out of it.
There is a scenario that they put him on this, you know, maybe not at the end of this season, because it feels like we're going to end with a kidnapping, but at the end of like maybe season 3. And they put him on the mountain, and the last season shot is of Sebastian Stan, or Luke Skywalker, meditating and then opening his eyes that he felt them, fade to black. I'm going to get a copyright strike for singing that because I do it so well. So, I know it's a bad idea, but I want it.
Yeah.
If that's all it is, if we just see like Luke's eyes suddenly opening, I'm down with that. Like, you know,
are they going to have to do the deep fake stuff though on to make him look younger, like they did terribly with Robert De Niro in what's that film where he looked
the Irishman?
He was trying to look the Irishman, yeah.
Yeah, or like, you know, Luke in Rise of Skywalker was. They had a moment of young CGI Luke, which is the age you'd be now.
Of course, right? Yeah.
Maybe JJ filmed something. Who knows?
Oh, man. Tom has just hit me on the chat, and we've got really sad news in Star Wars fandom. David Prowse, who played... Darth Vader has sadly passed away. So the BBC has put that up. 1935 to 2020. So, yeah, that's massive RIP. He's had such a complicated relationship with Star Wars, and but he terrified us all as kids, and I thank him for it. So I'm sure we'll some all of us, be.
Some of us also remember him as the Green Cross Man. growing up in the UK, he always remembered the Green Cross Code. He was the guy who told you how to cross the street.
And
wow,
and those ads,
and he had a superhero costume.
Yeah, but they had a crazy impact. Yeah, like that character was massive. So really, really sad. David Prowse is Darth Vader, as he would sign it for thousands of fans. So, yeah, that's
thanks 2020.
Yeah, this transmission takes more turns than something with lots of turns in it. Let me tell you that. I'm out of metaphors, these guys. all right. So let's go to our final thought on the episode and our all-important score out of 10. Maria, hit us.
Okay. Well, I very quickly, I don't want to take us too far back, but I disagree. I want to be the contrarian here. Mm-hmm. I think it's Yoda that we're going to see on the stone with Grogu. Mm. Grogu, and he's going to direct him to the village that they're from. I don't think he will become an... I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I don't think the end game for Baby Yoda is Jedi training of any kind. I think he will go back to the village that he's from.
Maria, you have given me, and I'm sure, you know, maybe there's others, but...
If... They make a cream for it. It's okay, Steel. It'll be gone in like a week. It's no big deal. It's the cost of doing business.
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, well.
This is my show, damn it.
This is now the Maria Wars. Maria Wars podcast. Ah!
If you're not listening to Sisters with Sabers, you should be. Get out of here. Get the hell out of here and go listen to Sisters with Sabers.
Dude. What a...
Oh, boy. I have made Steel turn bright red. Look at his face.
I need an ointment for that burn, about that burn. It's...
that well was done, dope.
Got me.
Anyway, scoring the episode.
Oh, wait. I do have to say that. I was going to jump in before you... You made me into a little schoolboy. That option, like I'm very excited for the possibility of Luke Skywalker, but I know it's wrong. Do you know what I mean? It's like going to KFC. And but the alternate, the
never
class,
go to KFC, go to Popeyes.
Popeyes is good. The alternative of him getting returned to a village of Yodas, because I'm always like with Grogu. Baby Yoda, Grogu, if you will. R.I.P. Yoju, by the way. What a great name. I love anytime you get to give him an E.T. moment, give him the E.T. moment. And and when E.T. like comes back with his family or his people or his fellow gardeners at the end of the film, that's pretty heavy. Yeah. Out of 10, Maria, what'd you give it?
9.5. I just don't think you introduce Baby Yoda without tackling the tough question there is who are these species and where do they come from? You know, and it's something that's been shrouded in mystery for such a long time and George really didn't want to address it. So I think it's the perfect time to do it while we have this character. So I do strongly believe that's the end game. So 9.5 for me on the episode.
9.5?
Yeah, even though I wasn't happy with the Ahsoka stuff, like I still think the episode itself was really good. It was shot well. The action pieces were good. The fighting was great. The fact that she was clothed really well and within storyline was great. Bruce Lee's goddaughter, for God's sakes. Like, there's so much good stuff going on there. I just, you know, I didn't get what I wanted out of it. but I'm not a not my Ahsoka person. Like, I'm not going to die on that hill. Like, maybe they'll change it. Maybe they'll hear something and maybe make changes in the future. But I mean, overall, the episode was good. The music was good. I just didn't care for the not Ahsoka of it all.
You are full of surprises, Maria.
Ta-da!
I was angling. I was like,
I was all on it.
No, I thought you were going to come out with like a 6 or something like that.
But, so did I. I'm surprised that you rated it so highly.
Yeah. The episode itself is good. I just don't care for the Ahsoka of it.
Interesting. I admire the
big picture.
JJE, what do you got?
Look, I came into this thinking everyone was going to be overwhelmingly positive about this episode, and it's been so nice to have this discussion. And you know, as an ignorant white Australian male, wasn't really across the sort of Rosaria Dawson.
I feel like I've been seen.
Yeah, I wasn't across that, so it's really nice to kind of be across that. But you know, like looking at it just as the episode, the story and the characters going on, I'm just loving, you know, that Mando continues to make me feel like the 8-year-old when I first saw, you know, Star Wars: Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, of being in the not knowing and seeing stuff and going, oh, that wasn't explained. I just have to use my imagination and kind of come up with the little stories as to why that stuff is in the background, especially when the first 3 movies were out, because there wasn't the internet yet. And you were like, I just have to kind of imagine. And I love that, you know, Mando's making us feel like that again. I thought, you know, I kind of thought, what would it be like if you were watching if you just watched The Mando and you didn't watch any other Star Wars, and whether this episode would have worked had you didn't know who Ahsoka was or any of her backstory? And I think it still would have worked. It was really cool.
Especially as Chris said at the start about, you know, things are dropped in with not that much explanation. Like, you know, like the Clone Wars.
I like that.
Anakin Skywalker. I feel like I sort of watched it again with that sort of trying to think about if you hadn't, you know, you didn't know who all these people were. And like, I feel like it works. I feel like Star Wars fans sometimes think that people need to know more than they do watching this. And I feel like, you know, like the end of Solo, like, you know, that's sort of confusing if you've seen The Phantom Menace and you haven't seen the cartoons.
Yeah, but, definitely.
But I feel like they put stuff in here and sort of leave it dangling. They don't give it the reverence that fans sort of that would in advance or feel like you should have to have. Like, you know, if you didn't know who Bo-Katan was, I felt like it was, you know, very well explained.
Yeah, and then you can go and research it if you want to, which a lot of people who don't know will, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, or just keep watching. Like, do you know what I mean? It's sort of like it's there if you want it, but you don't have to go da 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 da. And what'd you give it out of 10, buddy?
Well, I loved it. The other two really quick things was, you know, just the homage to sort of, you know, those samurai films and then also the spaghetti western. And you just really got a great flavor of both at the same time. There was like an old school gunfight and an old school samurai fight happening at the same time. It was wicked. I'm going to be that loser and just give it a 10 out of 10. I'm sorry. I'm just going to do it.
Hey, no one that enjoys something is a loser. You're the biggest winner. You're the biggest winner.
Yeah.
And you know, you're right. It has been sort of like an interesting sort of something that like my experience on Friday night or Thursday morning, you know, whatever, whenever it came on, was just nothing but like I was surrounded by people like online that were just like, this is the best thing ever. And yeah, to get that sort of nuance from everyone has been quite fascinating. King Tom, where do you stand on The Mandalorian, The Jedi?
I'd give it a 9. Wasn't perfect, but it was very close. There were some things about it I had issues with, but I liked the story, I liked the action, and the emotional bits between Din and Grogu really, really, I felt that.
Me two. What about you, Chris? I have no idea what number you're going to spit out, buddy.
The first number that popped into my head was 8. I think it's an 8 out of 10 episode. You know, it's solid. It you know, suffers from too much information drop and too little time. But it's still a solid piece of television and would definitely watch it again.
Excellent. Well, what do you reckon? Let's go around and we'll work out an average for what you reckon Courtney's score was. I reckon it's about a 6.
Ooh. Yeah.
7.
How many times did you watch
twice,
it?
Twice and then one all chopped up. Actually probably two times, all chopped up in different for doing different things. Hashtag content, Maria.
Okay.
Got it. Let's go with 6.5 for Courtney.
That seems fair.
I feel like that's fair. For me, I have to say it was one of the most fun Star Wars things like ever. Like I thought it was super cool. I'm not a huge, I'm not super invested in Ahsoka. I think she's cool. I respect her for what she means to so many other people. But yeah, seeing her jump around and slash and just like she, you know, I know she's not a Jedi or whatever, but hey, she's acting, she's got lightsabers and she's helping people.
She's a Force user.
That's a Jedi to me. And man, I love seeing Jedis. And I love seeing Jedis in live action. And the Yoju, Grogu stuff, like, I absolutely loved. So I am going to downvote it 1 point for the Rosario Dawson
pain, you know, and suffering.
Yeah, that has lowered my enjoyment, but on a pure enjoyment level, that one for me is going to clock in at a 9. So I will do an average, but while I'm doing that, let's get in some sweet plugs. Now we'll go with Maria first because she's already done it. She's already given a sweet plug. So you've shown that you're the master. So let us know about Sisters with Sabers.
Well, I first want to thank Ashley Eckstein for her contribution to the character. I would be remiss if I didn't say how wonderfully gracious she has been about sharing this character with Rosario and opening herself up to that. She's a wonderful person. If you ever get a chance to meet her, she is the original voice of Ahsoka Tano, yeah. And she's a wonderful person to meet. I met her, and I hope that my daughter will meet her soon. I am on 2 shows. Sisters with Sabers was born out of the concept that why aren't there any Black women talking about Star Wars? So now there are. And it's a show called Sisters with Sabers. And you can listen to it wherever podcasts are available. So iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, lots of places like that. And then I'm also a part of the Katana cast, which is also focused on representation of all types, especially with relation to queer folks. So I think that's a really powerful show as well. If you're looking for more representation, that's a great place to find it. The show is at Sabers With for Sisters with Sabers and at the Katana cast for the Katana cast. And then my personal account is at Blurred Girl Jedi on Twitter if you are bored.
I'm obviously very bored. thank you, Maria. Jimmy James, let the good people know what's going on and where they can track you down.
Thanks, Steele. I do all sorts of weird things, and you can catch up with it mostly through Instagram, Jimmy James Eaton. I also have a podcast that I do with my father-in-law, the father of my wife, where we just review films and swear a lot. So if you want to hear just two old crusty dudes swearing about movies, that's the Father-in-Law Cinema Club.
What a byline. thanks, Jimmy. Tom Chansky.
I am Tom Chansky on Twitter, and I am part of the Sith List. It's a weekly podcast with Araj Dolashai, Boo Arguello, Les Gonzalez, and Eric Strothers. And we have a YouTube
component. Araj put some videos together, but the you can hear us on the podcast every week. Sadly, if you listen to the podcast every week, you'll also have to hear the Naboo segment.
Oh,
thanks, Steve. I am also on Patreon shows for Steel Wars, Blue Harvest, and the Bad Motivators.
Excellent. Chris Taylor, what you got going on, buddy?
Well, obviously you can find me on Twitter at FutureBoy, and you can read my writings at Mashable, and I am the author of How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, which people still seem to like, and is available where all good books are sold, and even where bad books are sold. So
that is a classic Chris hype that people seem to like.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the book, mm-hmm. for the record. Oh, yeah. It was nice.
I bought mine on Amazon.
I can't wait. I'm going to buy one.
Yeah.
Sweet. Sale.
I bought mine at LAX. And it was knee deep in pre-Force Awakens hype. So it's an excellent book, Chris. So
thank you, sir.
How when's the follow-up, How the Universe Destroyed Star Wars coming
out? Oh my God. People keep asking about the follow-up, and I think of it occasionally, and then I think of all the things I'd have to write about and the fact that I'd have to discuss The Last Jedi and everything that went down with The Last Jedi, and I just sort of break out in hives just thinking about that. And I'm like, maybe next decade it will all have simmered down enough that, you know, we can talk about these things, but it's so raw right now, and there's not a lot of background detail coming out. But yeah, someday I'll return to the Star Wars book writing universe.
I always picture, like, in the future, like, we'll live in domes and it'll be very Star Trek and utopian and stuff, and you'll see, you know, the far shot of the city, and then it'll be beautiful, but then someone will start a conversation up about The Last Jedi, and you'll just see the dome crack and then all smog come out everywhere, and it's back to square one. If you are new to the channel, we live stream every day at 4 p.m. West, 7 p.m. East, doing all the Star Wars news. We'll be covering a bunch of stuff out of this episode. Everyone in the chat's gushing about Ashley's like amazing tweet. We'll be talking about that on Monday. And, of course, David Prowse. But thanks to everyone in the chat. Thanks to Maria, to Courtney, to Jimmy, to Chris, to Tom. No thanks to Corey.
I love you, Corey.
Who brought down this one averaged an average of 8.75. And that's gonna rest on Corey's shoulders, who his 17 out of 10 would have really brought up the average. So we'll miss that. We'll miss that. But I hope everyone is, appreciate the nuance. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know some people that like are super hyped on this going, oh, people like being a downer and stuff. It's like find out what people's opinions are. If they're well thought out, work out why they think that way and expand your worldview. I definitely have, to me, just it's all great is of no interest. I like views. I like opinions, and they help shape yours in Star Wars and outside there in that horrible real world. So savor it, enjoy it, and
thank you, Phil.
Thank you so much, Phil. I also appreciate.
Thanks, Steel.
I also appreciate the algorithm. So give us a thumbs up, give us a comment, help a buddy out, and hey. At 2 hours and 15, this podcast has gone on.
Long enough.
So, thank you, Toro. We'll see you guys later. And may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.